Hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This is about the baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Thank you so much for reading so beautifully. And Gary is now going to bring the word of God to us.
Yes, thank you, Linda. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, as we now look into your scriptures, will you speak to us? Will you open our hearts and give us ears to hear your word? Amen. Please sit down. Jim, I think your mic might be on. Well, good morning. Great to see you. And if you're visiting, a very special welcome. Thank you for joining us today. This morning, we actually end our Psalm series with Psalm 29, which was written by King David. The Psalms are songs and prayers shaped by authentic cries from the hearts of several writers. And we can feel their deep desires, don't we, to communicate with the living God as deep calls to deep. Its verses reflect the heartfelt expressions of those who once possessed their own life with all its hope and fears. And although written 3,000 years ago, it still remains an inspiration to the modern reader and continues to draw us to God. No doubt this morning some of us will have already reflected upon the difficulties of last week or the challenges that face us next week. But today we have come to pour out our hearts to hear what God has to say. And so we seek God's word this morning and his guidance for all the circumstances affecting our life. This psalm is one of praise and gratitude, celebrating the powerful voice of God. Its theme is in verse 3 to 4, where it says, The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. While he can shake the earth and heavens to achieve his way, he can also talk to us with a still, quiet voice, deep into our hearts. And that's good to know that. God speaks to reveal himself, his will, and his purpose to all humanity. And no voice is like the voice of God. His words are above all other words. But we live in a culture of many voices which are strong, persuasive, and all have very differing views. Some are completely false. And all compete for our ears and our hearts. Have you noticed that? But we need to listen to God. And yet so often we are busy, distracted, and focused upon our own plans. It's so easy not to listen to God and end up listening to others instead. We need to discern and know what God is actually saying to us individually and as a church family. But who is listening to God in our busy culture? The opening verses are a call to worship and to praise God and give glory to his name. It's the starting point. Our view of God and our desire for him is shown in our worship. If we are desperate to hear from God, then our first practice is worship. It's a reflection of what we really want in life and whether we include God as part of that. And the psalm starts in the throne room, addressing the heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Ascribe, ascribe, ascribe. It says it three times. Give to him, attribute to him. And here the angels are worshiping God, and he is on the throne, in the center, and worthy of all our worship. So in a land of idolatry, Baal worship, personal preferences and pride, David speaks out and says, worship the Lord. David speaks out and says, worship the Lord. It's a call to worship. It's a place we need to be when we come into his presence to hear his voice. Psalms are Hebrew style of poetry. And although sometimes we think of poetry as rhyming, in Hebrew they don't rhyme or have a meter. Instead, they include parallelism, which is matching words and phrases, structures and repetition, all in its original language. And this psalm certainly shows signs of repetition. In 11 verses, the voice of God is mentioned 7 times. But why repetition? Because repetition amplifies what is most important and enlarges the truth in minds and hearts. Repetition gets our attention, brings clarification, even moves us, because we can be slow to respond to God. And God's word prompts and reminds us to worship him, because he is worthy of our worship. But how does God speak? Well, occasionally we know audibly with Abraham and Moses, through the prophets in the Old Testament, through Jesus the Son during his lifetime on earth. Jesus is the Word who became flesh as man. And today, through the Bible, by the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And yes, sometimes audibly. Psalm 19 tells us that the heavens declare his glory and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And although they have no speech, nor sound is heard from them, nevertheless, God speaks through his creation, and their voice goes out to all earth. So much so that when Paul talks about the ungodly in Romans 1, he says, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, and what has been created understood, so that people are without excuse for not knowing God. Therefore, God has already spoken to us, and he is one, and we're no longer ignorant of that. How did God create? It was through the power of his voice. In Genesis 1, chapter 1, we see God's word is powerful, and at creation he spoke into the void and the darkness, and from this came light and the heavens, the waters, living creatures, and so on. Finally, the first man and woman were created. And it was so. According to his word, God spoke it all into existence. And today, we also need his creative word to speak into our lives. A spiritual rebirth, and for us to become new creations in Christ. Here in this psalm, David likens God's authoritative word to a storm. And no doubt as a shepherd, or even later when he was fleeing King Saul into the wilderness, he would have witnessed the rare but powerful storms in that region. Atmospheric skies, extreme winds, thunder and lightning. Verses 3 to 4, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And using this storm imagery, the psalm says, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. These strong and majestic trees are almost reduced to firewood. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf. Syrian, like a young wild ox. Syrian is Mount Hermon, at 9,200 feet, the tallest mountain in Israel, on the northern borders of Lebanon and Syria. The voice intimidates its hostile neighbors, and they react like young animals or a pregnant deer to give birth. All life is affected when our God speaks. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The southern desert of Israel, even in its semi-lifeless terrain, has to respond. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks, strips the forest bare. Yes, they contain strong imagery and metaphors, but they're not just poetry, these verses. They speak of a heavenly power. Have you ever experienced a really severe storm where those trees close to your house start to bend and sway in a dangerous way and you wish you'd had them lopped a little earlier? The roof creaks, literally. Rain is intense and thunder suddenly booms directly overhead. And from the window you see forked lightning illuminating the sky. That's power. And there's nothing we can do about it. Other countries, they have tornadoes, which are a completely different scale. But how well do we know the voice of Jesus, God's voice through his Son? When Jesus speaks, things happen. When Jesus speaks, demons run and flee. When Jesus speaks, a dead Lazarus walks out from his tomb. When Jesus speaks, blind eyes see, deaf ears hear. And when Jesus speaks, lives are transformed. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. But how well do we know his voice? For his words become reality and touch our lives. We must believe what he said. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and he reigns. And one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. In this psalm there is a storm, and God speaks through it. But what is really happening here? There is a spiritual battle going on. Baal was a false Canaanite god, which represented fertility, storms, and supposedly commanded thunder and rain from the mountaintops. And the nations worshipped its idols. Unfortunately, there were times when even Israel drifted into idol worship. The Canaanites believed this false god was God of the mountain, but our God made the mountains and rules over them. They also believed that this handmade image was the god of the rainstorms and had the final say, but he doesn't. Much later in 1 Kings 18, during a famine and a drought, it was Elijah, God's prophet, who prayed for rain, and it came. It's Elijah's God who sends the rain, not Baal. Also, Elijah challenges 450 Baal prophets on the Mount of Carmel to prove who is the true God. And each party has a bull to sacrifice. It was a decisive confrontation. The false prophet spent all day waiting for Baal to turn up, but Baal fails to ignite the flames. But when Yahweh's turn comes, our God instantly answers with consuming fire. It consumes the sacrifice and the altar stones. It's Elijah's God who sends the fire. It's his God who is in control. In Mark 35, it talks of the time when Jesus and the disciples crossed the lake. And at some point, a great storm arose and waves began breaking over the boat. They panicked, both Jesus, who then rebuked the wind by commanding the storm, peace, be still. Again, God speaks through his Son with power. And he levels the sea, calms the wind. And the disciples said to one another, who is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? What does this story tell us? Certainly storms aren't forever. Sometimes there are storms in our life which God can remove and bring release. Other times, God wants us to walk through them so that he can refine and teach us something. But either way, God is in control. The psalm brings us back to worship, and in verse 10, God is on the throne as King forever. And we close this verse now, this chapter, with these words: the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with a peace. Peace comes at the end of the storm. An enduring peace is what we all want to experience in our lives, in our relationships, in our nation, and in our world. A peace with him, with the barriers removed. A peace where we are accepted by him as true spiritual sons and daughters. Where we can know his forgiveness, freedom from guilt, the deep regrets of our life. Peace with God. And if you want to know that this morning, worship him. Allow him to talk to you and receive his peace.